I'm Aggie Dawn, and
no, you're not. Don't even. Okay. Why do you start
I don't know. I don't know.
I know Maggie Dawn. I work with Maggie Dawn. You, sir, are no Maggie Dawn.
Thank you, Jacob.
Beautiful, Jacob.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, this is Civic Media Radio Network, and John and Gordy in the morning from WMDX doing the afternoon fill-in show.
And Maggie, you'll be back tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, if you're irritated by our antics here, she will be back.
She will be back.
Yes. By the way, I just want to mention that Gordy and I are going to be at the Brewer game next Tuesday.
Yes, Tuesday evening.
To see the Brewers and the Cubs.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah. Can't wait.
We had a contest here, and we gave away tickets for it, so we'll be sitting with the winner.
It'll be fun.
Just love Milwaukee.
Looking forward to it.
All right.
Phone lines are open here at the Civic Media Radio Network, 855-752-4842. We have Troy on the line from Mount Horeb with a question or a comment. Good afternoon, Troy. Yeah. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, guys. How you doing?
Good.
All right. Good. What's on your mind?
Good, good. Hey, stop rubbing in that I didn't win the tickets to that Brewer game, by the way.
Sorry, buddy.
Yeah, well.
It's really interesting when people like Clay and other followers of the Sworn Jesus bring up Ronald Reagan like they like him. Reagan and Bush in the primary argued about how many people we should let into this country from Mexico.
That's true.
And Ronald Reagan gave amnesty to 3 million undocumented people, which Clay's head would explode if he remembered that. So
I forgot about that. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So when he brings up Ronald Reagan and acts like he likes him, it's ridiculous. So
I mean, it was a wonderful speech, a great argument against what's going on right now. Wouldn't you agree?
I didn't remember.
Well, we played Reagan.
Oh, we played Reagan's speech.
His last speech as president.
Fantastic. Look it up. It's really, really good.
Yeah, you can find it on YouTube.
All right, Troy. Hey, thanks for giving us a call from out in Mount Horeb. All right.
We appreciate it.
Yeah. Now let's get to our special guest this afternoon. And it is
Attorney Jim Santel.
Do I have to say everything on this show?
Yeah, I know. Good afternoon, Jim.
Gentlemen, good to be with you in this afternoon and maybe tomorrow morning as well. So we've got a lot to talk about these days, don't we?
Yes, you're going to be our guest tomorrow morning as well.
Yeah, on our local show.
There'll be other cases to have to talk about.
12 more things will happen between now and 6 a.m. tomorrow morning, all of them headlines.
But, hey, I don't want to ask you about this latest thing, though, where the Justice Department, Pam Bondi, fired the attorney, U.S. attorney in District New Jersey. How is that possible? How can you just fire somebody that was just designated by a federal judge in order to put that person in place? How do you do that?
Lots and lots of complicated rules. The short answer is that because you are a political appointee, you do have, you're exposed to the notion that, yes, the president, attorney general can fire you. And I was U.S. attorney. If Eric Holder had called me up and said, Jim, your time is done, your time is done.
Oh,
but your question goes to a larger issue, which is these positions, even though they are politically appointed, are not supposed to be that, right? They're supposed to be people who come to these positions for the purpose of administering the law, figuring out what the facts are, making determinations about who should be charged in criminal cases, civil things like that. And all the machinations going on there in and out of the U.S. Attorney's Office do two things. One is they underscore the political nature of this administration, including this attorney general, who is firing and hiring people based upon their political perspective. And then I think about this, the people of New Jersey and the calamity caused inside that office. It's certainly been going on. We've seen this in other places.
Mm-hmm.
And the lack of stability, the lack of who is in charge, that compromises. I can tell you the extent to which the staff, the good attorneys who are civil servants doing your work every day, have confidence in what they're doing and feel a sense of commitment to the office and to the department. That's what this compromises also when there's a revolving door based upon what Pam Bondi and the president is dictating. And it again underscores this notion that the wall between the presidency and the attorney general and the Department of Justice completely, completely run down in this administration.
I'm surprised there isn't some kind of wall, some kind of law, some kind of rule that prevents this from happening, where if it looks like you're being political, then it stops immediately. There is a challenge to it, and then you have to go to court, or something right. happens to stop this from happening.
Right. And you also got, well, the other thing that's going on in many of these districts, too, is you've got all these different arcane rules that I was in and out of when I was the interim U.S. attorney and acting U.S. attorney, having to do with the extent to which a president can appoint somebody for a term of days. Then it reverts to the federal judiciary. Then it goes back to the mm-hmm. attorney general. All these kinds of things established by Congress. It's not intuitive. There should be more clarity. And the people of the United States of America to expect that. You nominate U.S. attorneys, they're confirmed by the Senate based upon their credentials, and not because they're allied with the president. In my case, not because I was allied with Barack Obama. I had never met the man in my life, and I did later on. But, all those kinds of things, that's the kind of thing you want to establish in a U.S. attorney's office, and that's what we have run roughshod over.
That's right.
Jim, what happened to all these, every once in a while you hear about a case where it goes to a special master or yes. somebody that oversees these different departments within the Department of Justice or oversees what the judges are doing. You never hear about them anymore stepping in or, these cases, being seen by somebody else coming in with a more objective view that can tell right. these judges, hey, you can't just do this, right? Or right. the attorneys.
Yep, there are lots of different mechanisms out there. One of them is, of course, the inside the department, supposed to be independent, which is the Office of the Inspector General. That okay. person yeah. should come in, right? That's by what you're in part talking about. Yeah. There can be the appointment of special counsels. We saw a lot of that under Merrick Garland, right? People coming in and once again, looking at what the department's doing, what it isn't doing. And the idea is, as you hit it right in the head, that you've got somebody who is not beholden doesn't hold his job by virtue of an appointment, coming in with, again, plainly a partisan background, but for the purpose of this assignment, figuring out what went wrong and then mm-hmm. making decisions, making recommendations. That's what this inspector general should do. That's what a special counsel should do. There's also this concept of special masters, which judges can appoint a special master. We saw that in the Mar-a-Lago case. Remember this yeah. with Eileen Cannon? She yeah. appointed a special master to look at all these documents, all kinds of mechanisms that will assist and support the operation of justice. And the whole idea is get people in, as we have talked so often on your morning program, this program as well, who know what they're doing, right? The expertise, yeah. the insight, yeah. the experience, and maybe don't rely on them 100%, but at least you benefit from their recommendation. That's what we miss when we have these unilateral decisions by the president, by the attorney general, and the politicization of a department mm-hmm. in a way that we have never seen in any administration up until now, including those of a Democratic presidency, Republican presidency. This is of a whole new cut.
Well, I look at this as a big problem. And when I see a problem, I always try to come up with a solution. Jim, is there anything Congress can do eventually if it becomes democratically controlled?
Sure.
And we have a Democratic president. Is there something we can do to fine-tune this to prevent something like this from happening again?
Right. And this, one of the things, of course, the big one, of course, is impeachment. That may still be a big a lift for the Congress to do. But beyond that, we've talked about this before, the oversight, right? Yes, indeed, the Attorney General does show up at the House Judiciary Committee and other committees on the Senate side as well. But some meaningful teeth. We're talking even today about some of the House and Senate committees issuing subpoenas. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's got to be approved by a majority of the members of the committee. That you can do if you've got a majority in your committee. The mm-hmm. other thing, again, we haven't had to think about this before, but going back to your very first question, John, this notion of reestablishing a separation, an arm's length between the decisions made by prosecutors in the Department of Justice and the White House. Mm-hmm. And can you legislate that? Well, maybe we haven't done that yet. It's always been understood. Maybe, some bright guys like Adam Schiff in the Senate and others in the House can come up with some legislation that does, in fact, impose upon the Department of Justice some rules and regulations when it comes to this kind of thing. This president, again, this business, again, with Jeffrey Epstein,
yeah.
it is also a reflection of the fact that he is so involved in the day-to-day operation of our Justice Department that he's also taking now the heat for making decisions about these issues.
Exactly.
Case-specific mm-hmm. things, who is prosecuted, what you do with the grand jury, directions to the attorney general. None of that should be happening, mm-hmm. and it wasn't happening until this administration, and this administration of Donald Trump in particular, who's erased that line completely with the concurrence of the Attorney General and implicitly the people of the United States.
Yeah. Talking with Attorney Jim Santel, let's go to the phones. Mark is on the line from Prairie du Sac with a question. Mark, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm a little hot here, hearing, in addition to the temperature outside, that, you know, CJ's nonsense about, you know, they came through the door. Well, open the damn door then. I mean, that we, you know, that both Democrats and Republicans have failed to pass comprehensive immigration reform. But these people are coming to this country desperate to escape where they've come from, like our ancestors did coming from Europe. I mean, escaping famines and economic conditions in Europe, and just because they happened to have come, you know, 100 years ago, because, you know, some of the immigration rules weren't as strict back then. I mean, that they just, and they came. And Ronald Reagan is saying, we welcome all these people, and some of these people, they're actually here legally. They actually have, you know, the one guy had a green card and was getting a replacement green card, and he got deported. I mean, it is just ridiculous. I mean, that what Ronald Reagan said was an affirmation of what it says on the Statue of Liberty, that those are the people we want in this country. And just because they happen to be of more than likely of a different skin tone than some of these people think is they want to have, they think they're going to vote, you know, the way that they want people to vote, I guess, from the Republican side. And that's not any guarantee, but, I mean, it's just ridiculous that they're rounding all these people up, putting them in a damn concentration camp, and that's all you can call those things. It looks like a concentration camp, smells like a concentration camp, it is a concentration camp, and the people that have been back in this, damn them. Mm-hmm. I mean,
Mark, thank you. Appreciate that call. Yep. Yeah, we feel your frustration, too. And they're building more of these camps here in the U.S.
Well,
now.
The big bad bill designated more money to build more of these camps. In fact, they're building more camps. They're spending more money on these camps than they spent on the entire federal prison system in the country.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
That's outrageous.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Mark,
what do you think,
Mark's point underscores something else, and that is the president has rescinded what was under the Biden administration, this TPS, a temporary protective service, which is protecting people who are here because they were fearful of torture back home. The Supreme Court recently said, go ahead, Donald Trump. You can get rid of them from this country as
well. It's outrageous.
Stunning. Stunning.
Yeah, it is stunning stuff.
Mm-hmm. 19 past the hour. We will continue with Attorney Jim Santel and hopefully more of your phone calls. Give us a call now, 855-752-4842. John Agordi in for Maggie Dawn on the Civic Media Radio Network.